This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike.
And this is Tim.
And we're from Mike and Tim Visit Earth, and we have a very special announcement. December 18th at 8 p.m., we are doing our very first live podcast.
You've never seen anything like this. You have no idea what's in store. I'm going to be smashing my face in bread. My ex-girlfriends are going to be fighting for my love. It's going to be ridiculous.
There's going to be a lot of glitz, a lot of glamour, and it's all going to take place at Stand Up New York Comedy Club on the Upper West Side. Again, that's December 18th, 8 p.m. Holy shit, this is going to be a New York Times article level of explosives.
We'll see you. See you there. That's 37 seconds.
Perfect.
Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kat Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Patrick Monahan. Oh, Jesus, what am I doing? I'm not even... This has been a bad weekend for me.
Leave it in.
Yeah, we're leaving it in. We're leaving it in. We're real here. Guys, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive. It's the podcast... Well, you heard what Dan said. So, I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Man, I really... This has been a rough... we were just talking about this. It's been a rough week for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
Especially a rough weekend.
Yeah.
Like, shitty week, but really a wonderful grand finale of shit.
It's no fun to get bad news, you know, about, like, policy changes at, you know, midnight on a Friday. That's no good.
Yeah, 2 in the morning.
It's not what you want. We lost the wonderful works of Garrison Keillor, you know?
This is, you know what, though? This is like when Louis C.K. got found out and everybody, like... was just like, oh, now I'm going to be Louis C.K. Like, all the comics are like, oh, there's another spot.
Right.
I feel like now we've lost 300 years of Prairie Home Companion. What are people going to listen to?
Yeah. There's some milquetoast fucking ass. It's like, finally, my stories.
No, it's us.
It's us. We're the new, yeah. Well, the new.
I mean, everyone, it's like when a comedian dies or is disgraced, everyone moves up one slot.
You move up a slot. We've just been bumped up in the rankings.
We'd like to officially invite all, you know, listeners of A Prairie Home Companion to switch over. To What a Time to Be Alive.
Yeah, and that's why every week we're going to spend half the show talking about painting a fence down by the creek or whatever the hell that guy talked about for 45 years.
We're going to start doing that weird, shitty, like, you know how, like, all of those, like, every, like, intelligent podcast has, like, a very weird speaking rhythm to it? Like, I don't know why I can always recognize it, but it's, like, way too close to the microphone and just, like, it's like, absolutely. We're here and we're going to be discussing different things today. Like, it's that shit.
At the end of the show, we will all join together in singing a folk song where you're not sure if it's supposed to be funny or not.
Yeah, it's also the third verse is incredibly racist, which we will have a discussion of. Like, I just imagine all these NPR, like, is it just the same way, you know, when someone's never done stand up before and they don't know how to hold the mic? Is it just because, like, they're so used to just writing New Yorker articles, and then they get a microphone and they, like, put it in their mouth and they're like, hello, I'd talk about stuff today.
And now for part three in our discussion of tote bags.
Take that, NPR.
We got them again.
We are going to be taking over all of their programming from now on due to Garrison Keillor's disgrace.
Today, an intense report on something we've found called the New York subway. The taxi cab underground for the poor.
I mean, apparently anybody who, like, has ever had experience with him, Garrison Keillor, in Minnesota, said he's, like, a huge asshole. So this is apparently not surprising.
He looks like a Donald Duck's family member. He looks like a duck, like an angry, furious duck.
He looks like sort of a cross between like a duck and a pug. But, like, not a normal pug, like a pug that has to, like, be in a stroller.
So a puck or a dug.
Exactly.
I can't, like, that's all I imagine. It was, like, A Prairie Home Companion, because I don't listen to it. That's what it is. It's like nice little stories and shit, right? Like, I just imagine him, like, floating on a lake, just
we'll
just quacking and preening himself furiously. And then, yeah. I don't know, like sexually harassing other ducks.
And just like, well, we have one of Mrs. McGillicuddy's famous pies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Just, yeah, that's what it was actually like an American Pie thing. He fucked an apple pie in the studio. That's what happened.
As always, Tom Sharpling, host of The Best Show, had it right years ago.
He did.
He was really... Really down on Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
Did an extended takedown. And,
I mean,
he got him, folks.
I will say, statistically speaking, like, with the amount of things that Tom Sharpling doesn't like, he's going to be right sometimes.
And most things are bad. So, frankly.
And most things are bad.
He's not sniping. He's got a shotgun out there.
Nobody can convince me that I don't like something that I previously liked, like Tom Sharpling.
I think that's really power is.
Yeah, the Billy Crystal Jazz Man thing is incredible. Let's just discuss other good things that aren't what people are listening to right now.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Other podcasts they could be listening to instead of us.
Well, here's a fun thing I learned on the way up here, actually, on the subway. I was listening to, I don't know why, because I have bad taste. I was listening to a Hey Soul Sister by Train. Do you guys know that song?
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
I'm really bummed out imagining you
on
the train listening to Train.
Listening to Train. Wow, there's a lot going on there.
You said you had a rough
right?
week, but I didn't know what you meant.
It came on, and I didn't have the willpower to take my phone out to change the
that's
thing.
That's so sad, dude.
But I did pull it out, and you know how Spotify has that Genius integration where it gives you backstory?
If you play Hey Soul Sister backwards, it's just Drops of Jupiter. Either way, it's like a palindrome.
One time I heard it, I've only ever heard it out once, and it was like, I was at like a club, and it was Last Call when the lights were coming on, and they played that song, and I was like, this is an incredible bit. This is get the hell out of here.
Now that I'm thinking about it, if someone did it at karaoke, I would enjoy it. Like, it would be really funny.
The falsetto is really hard, I feel like.
Yeah.
It would be a very hard song to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there he is.
But this is also one of those songs that we get a copyright strike for playing, like, 1 second of, because it's like an Apple commercial.
Yeah. So Spotify has that like Genius integration where they give you like the little information and the lyrics and stuff in the background.
Yeah.
This is the one that came up. Train's 2009 smash "Hey Soul Sister" is inspired by the annual Burning Man festival in Nevada's Black Rock Desert. And it's like, it's like if you grew a fact in a lab
Shelby,
designed to make people
we need to turn this
matter.
Off or I'm going to get, like, I'm going to Hulk out. I can't listen to this anymore.
So it's like, hey, you know how a lot of people hate that song? How can we make them even matter? It's about Burning Man. It's like, I want to scream.
Burning Man.
Oh, my God.
That
Jesus
rules.
Christ.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of levity to kick things off.
Yeah,
it's me, the guy who only listens to songs that were in iPod commercials.
Yeah.
I listen to that and fucking Yael Naim and Feist, and that's it.
I buy all of my music at the checkout counter of Starbucks. That's where I get everything I listen to.
My entire music library is just iTunes free songs of the week.
Really love that YouTube album that was automatically on my phone. That's all I listen to.
Oh, we forgot to, you guys also, I mean, we don't have a number for it, but Jake Paul... huge friend of the pod. He let out a Christmas album called Litmus, and apparently doesn't know that Litmus is already a word. But also,
Hold
a
on.
Song that the chorus is just buy that merch over and over, and has the URL of their merch store.
The thing that's cool is that he's probably going to make millions of dollars off of it because. And just they should just ban teens as always should be banned. Like they can't you don't get to dictate anything culturally. Get out of here.
You shouldn't be able to be famous. I think you shouldn't be able to be famous until you're 25. Like
yeah,
I get that there are people who
that.
Are prodigies, but they'll just be better when
child,
they're older.
They we should no one should be famous before they're 25, and all children in movies should be played by adults on kneeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be like an NCAA for fame. Like
yes.
If you're really good, like, okay, but you play in like the college league and
you
make
be...
comedy videos in the college league, and then you know if your comedy is good enough when you're done with that, you'll get recruited to real comedy.
That's what posting is, I think.
Yeah.
Is the
POASTING.
The minor leagues of fame, and then inevitably people have their meltdowns and falls. There's always one. There's at least one of those a week now, I feel like.
What, Twitter meltdown?
People who are, like, famous who just get, like, well, goodbye. Like, you know, there's somebody's outed as, like, a bad person or something or, like, faking something.
Little revolving door.
Yeah, it's classic. And then they post the paste bin and we move on. That's the life that we live. the weird, like, micro fame cycles. Anyhow, so, there's a lot of stuff. So, like we said, we're going to keep it light. We're not really going to talk about, you know, the stuff that's really, you know, the overarching dread that everyone feels.
We have like a full roster of just silliness today. This is all silly stories. So look, I feel like we're pretty talented comedians, guys. I enjoy our jokes. I think we're pretty funny. I don't know how funny we could be about a bad tax code. I don't know.
I don't know if you guys heard, but Trump being president is great news for comedians. A couple people have told me that. So, yeah, we're not ignoring or pretending that our company isn't being bled into a bathtub, just kidneys out. Like being lowered into a bed
that
of ice.
We woke up on Saturday morning in a bathtub full of ice with no kidneys. That's what happened.
They did it. Oh, yeah. Pretty much. Like the whole thing about it. Like, I guess we're not going to talk about it. It's like they get this like dog shit thing that's got like, you know, scrawled like just handwriting on it. And then they're like,
Eli, the Constitution was handwritten.
The Declaration of Independence was handwritten. Okay, but
that seems to have worked out pretty well. Thank you.
Honestly, I would be okay if it were handwritten now if they also did those fancy little S's that look like F's like they did in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just saying it shouldn't look like a sketch that I got that I agreed to shoot for my friend, like on a Saturday, and a show up, like, we rewrote all these parts.
That bill was less organized than a doomed web series. What it looks like.
You need more
a web series
planning.
With one episode.
Yeah, yeah. A pilot web series.
Kickstarter would not approve it because they're like, there hasn't been enough planning done about this. It can't be. You're gonna have to do a GoFundMe. Or did we ever talk about that? Because that was amazing. The Nazi guys that we were talking about, the Nazi guy like set up a GoFundMe thing, but whoever they coded their own like alt-right friendly.
There's a bunch of them now. Yeah. They have Patreon. He was on GoFundMe.
Yeah, but they coded it wrong. So if you donated negative money, it would give you money.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's like, amazing.
I think they fixed it pretty quick. But like two or three Twitter people like donated. Like, they pretty much just tested it. I think they donated, like, negative a dollar and got a dollar in their PayPal account.
They should have done,
They should have just looted them all and then...
Yeah.
That rules.
I don't know if that's theft or not. I'm no lawyer. And there's no lawyers here, so we'll have to...
Yeah, that's true. There are none.
None. Zero.
Not right now. So anyway, so let's get into it. Why not?
Number five.
All right, so number five is... The theme of this is, I think... like petty heroes. That's like I think the theme of the people we're going to be covering this week.
People, I would read a David Sedaris short story.
Yeah,
about.
we've already done a few over the course of the series here. I mean, we did obviously the fajita guy was kind of like that. The lady with the fuck Trump sticker was one of those. So this is in the same
the hero who sang the national anthem on the airplane and then was ejected from the flight.
Anyone who's ever sang the national anthem is a hero to me.
That's true. It's first of all, it's a good song, and second of all,
it's a banger.
All right, so here it is.
That should be the Apple 1 week. Their free song of the week is the national anthem.
It's Take a Knee, My Ass. This guy Brighton Mellett from Urbana, Illinois. On July 4th of last year, he was arrested for something he posted the day before. A photo of him burning the flag, because he's protesting kind of the treatment of people of color and so, you know, just general injustice. He's not proud of, you know, what the country is right now. And, that's apparently Illinois has a flag desecration law, but there's this thing called, the First Amendment, or that's what it's called. There have been Supreme Court cases that explicitly say that it's protected speech. it was 1989, and it basically nullified the state law. So the law is not on the books anymore. So he was wrongfully arrested, and they obviously... dropped the charges once that happened. His lawyer basically spent 5 hours in jail, and he decided, with the help of the ACLU, he sued based on violation of his constitutional rights for wrongful arrest, I guess, or something. But he settled and got $15,000 and $20,000 in legal fees.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
So he soaked him for some money. And then the way he celebrated was posting another picture of him burning a flag.
Well done.
So good. Oh,
good thing he doesn't play in the NFL.
Which you got to respect it, you know?
I just think it's really funny that, so he, the original quote-unquote crime that he was arrested for was burning the flag, but they found out because he posted a picture of it on Facebook.
Yeah, somebody snitched, I guess.
Imagine calling the police because you saw a picture of someone burning a flag on Facebook.
Yeah.
I would give all of the money that he won in that suit to hear a recording of that phone call.
That's like that dude Mark Dice on Twitter who posted, or who, see, he like said he called the police in Baltimore because some freestyle rapper had like a fuck Trump song or I'm gonna kill Donald Trump, and the cops like laughed him off the phone.
Yeah, in Baltimore.
And he posted it like, I can't believe this.
Yeah,
everyone's
this is an
like,
outrage.
Hey man, everyone's laughing at you. Everyone's laughing at your face. Ha 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 ha. You know, it's like that.
The Baltimore PD.
And the idea that you would like
all the police departments.
I think most people know that it's not against the law. Like that's like it's such a classic example of protected protest speech. That
Bernie,
like,
it's like yeah. the example.
It's the example.
I'm not going to, I don't want to go crazy here, but I'm going to say that maybe some conservatives have a pretty flexible definition yeah. of what freedom of speech is. It's like, yeah, what I love about it is that you can burn a flag and have like such a strong reaction to it from conservatives that it's like you're burning a ghost's bones or something. Like it's like they're a vampire or something and they're just like, ah, like they're
yeah,
losing
they
their
can't,
strength.
Like it's like how vampires can't go in the sun because they like crumble into dust. The light given off by a burning flag
yeah,
crumbles
like the same
conservatism
as show,
to dust.
Yeah, like showing like a cross to Dracula. Like you just burn a flag in front of them. Like, oh.
Like I just can't understand getting that mad about it. Like I don't know, but look, we're semi-rational people, I guess. Right?
I remember when I was a kid and I was like you know getting into punk rock and stuff, and it was like before I kind of cared about politics, and I remember seeing there was that band Anti-Flag who yeah. like their logo was an upside down flag, and I was like, whoa,
they're all about hating the flag.
That's like
fact.
Their entire their
it's literally
entire
the name of the band
political
their first album
ethos.
Man, I fucking hate flags.
Hey, where do you guys stand on flag? Are you pro
thumbs
or
down.
Anti-flag?
Thumbs down.
Yeah, how is there not a conservative like answer that's called pro flag? That's like a like all just like a,
a skinhead like hardcore band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember being like very like, oh, this is bad. This is like bad kid stuff because the flag is upside down.
Pretty naughty stuff.
Yeah, for me it was the same thing, except it was Marilyn Manson when he had the boobs that one time. That was pretty wild.
Oh yeah.
I just remember that.
He was ahead of his time, man. He was doing like Lady Gaga stuff. Like that's what that video is.
Yeah.
It's Lady Gaga stuff. It's awesome.
The dope show.
Is there a reason it's always burning stuff other than just like setting stuff on fire is fun?
No. Well, it feels like an effigy. Like,
yeah,
I guess.
You know.
Yeah.
We need to burn like, more effigies, I think, as like a society. Like burning effigies is really fun.
Yeah.
Seems like it's cathartic.
Do you think conservatives would freak out if I posted a video of me just like cutting up a flag with scissors a lot? Like really hard. It's like
yeah, like, technically, it's
probably
I'm desecrating it.
I like, hate to again bring up stuff that is funnier than anything I've ever done, but I can't not think of the Mr. Show sketch with the performance artist trying to shit on the flag.
Oh yeah,
and the idea is basically that the American flag was scientifically designed to make you constipated so that no one could shit on it in an act of desecration, which is pretty smart if you think about it. I guess that's why we have to burn it.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so that's number five. That's a guy that we salute you, I think, for the
is
you know, the pettiness.
Did you see the Facebook post? Is it like in the article?
The
victory.
The first post was deleted. The second one, yeah, he's got his hand on his heart and he's got a flower crown on and he's just like Yeah, it's pretty good. It seems like it's designed to make people even madder than the first one.
Yeah,
was.
Of course. I just like I can't think of any other crimes that you get arrested for and then celebrate your release by committing the crime
doing
again.
Because it wasn't a crime. Yeah, that's.
I guess that's true.
I mean, the problem is like, yeah. Oh, the cops can't arrest me. Haha. It's like, yeah, but people can like post your address because people are assholes online.
Don't
and, like, you'll
give
get, like,
them
harassed.
Ideas.
Yeah.
We'll send him. We'll send him some. We'll send him a CD with all of our podcasts on it.
Yeah,
that's
nice. Hey,
if his address leaks.
You know, check out this disc you can use to play sounds. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild stuff. Yeah, so let's keep the ball rolling here.
number four.
All right, the four, this is sort of a combo number because it's sort of just a combination of handsome guy and weird news stuff. There's two things.
What's going on in the world of handsome guys this week?
What's up with handsome actors?
What's going on in the world of the co-stars of the Guy Ritchie film, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were in that together.
Two, the men from U.N.C.L.E. What's going on with them? Still from U.N.C.L.E. But now, so I'm honestly going to get them mixed up because they're the same man. Henry Cavill is the Superman.
That's Superman.
Yeah, so in Justice League, which came out and is bad, probably. I didn't see it. Did you see it, Patty?
Not yet.
Did anybody? You know what? No.
I'm gonna movie pass that shit.
Yeah.
Is that a Zack Snyder?
It's Zack Snyder, but he had to drop out early because of a death in his family, which is sad. I think one of his kids killed themselves or something.
Jesus
and Joss Whedon took over for reshoots, so it's like apparently like a hodgepodge of kind of obviously they have very different styles.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of different styles.
Wow,
it's pro.
So apparently they had to do some reshoots on Justice League, but unfortunately Henry Cavill is no longer working on Justice League. He's working on a different movie for Warner Brothers, right?
No, he wasn't. It was Paramount and Warner Brothers, I think, were the two studios.
Working on something for Paramount, which involved him having a mustache. And so
I like I'm sure there's other info, but I like the only info we have about this movie is that whatever it is, Henry Cavill's got a mustache in it.
Yeah.
That's, no, Patty, don't look it up. Okay. That's all I want
to
know.
I'm just
look
to up, provide some context.
Look out next year for the man from U.N.C.L.E. with a mustache featuring Henry Cavill. But he grew a mustache, and so then he needed to do reshoots for Justice League. And when Warner Brothers was like, hey, you go ahead and pop that mustache off since you don't have one in our movie, Paramount came in and said, actually, no, we won't allow him to shave it.
Yeah,
at all.
it was in his contract. There was something about it, you know, and
which isn't I don't think that's unusual. That's just like
no.
To
I mean, that's in our
shaving.
That's
it.
In our podcast contract.
Yeah, we all have mustaches.
Yeah, none of us are allowed to shave.
Yeah,
it's per the rules of Stand Up New York.
Yeah.
So I feel him. Yeah. I know where he's
is it too
from.
Late to rename this the podcast from U.N.C.L.E.?
Yeah.
So anyway, so they're like, no, he can't shave it. And Warner Brothers is like, but please, because this is going to be so bad.
He can't just suddenly have a mustache.
Right. So Warner Brothers actually offered, they demoed up how much it would cost to add a mustache in. If he shaved for Justice League, they would add it in for the other for the lost time or the lost effort in the other movie, and they were going to pay for it. Like Warner Brothers is trying so hard because Justice League is very important to them. This is like a big like tentpole thing. And they don't need to have a weird distraction involving a CGI'd out mustache, and because you have to get the little below the nose thing, like you know, because like
that little like philtrum. Divot,
yeah, philtrum. I couldn't think of the word.
So they like did the projected cost.
Yeah,
analysis.
And they were like, we'll pay you. And Paramount, which is just like old school, like old Hollywood, like petty ass shit, was just like, nope.
No
deal.
No dice.
Enjoy boot up After Effects, fellas, because you're CGI'ing out a mustache for a lot of a movie.
Yeah,
and that's what they did. And it would almost be better if it looked worse because it looks just the right wrong amount of right, where it's like, that looks like sort of a lip, but not really. And
so it's
he
just
also, well, me and Kath are saying that he looks weird already because he has such a muscular face.
He it's strange because like he has all of the components of a handsome man's face, but they're not right together.
That's what we used to have a guy that he didn't go to our high school. He went to a different high school. We'd see him around like the boathouse or like the crew thing. And that's exactly what I always say. It was like he was like if you took the every individual attractive part and put it together and you just end up looking like kind of like a horse. Just like very too strong and stuff. And that's what he sort of looks like. And then they just like made it a little, so he's already kind of in the uncanny valley, and then they made it even more. Also, how slow does his, I mean, I hate to say it, but it sounds like Henry Cavill, pretty low T. Put him on the low T list.
Whoa.
Can't grow
the staff. He's going to sue us.
You know that insanely strong looking man? He's on the low T list.
Yeah,
that guy with a 90 degree jaw angle.
Yeah,
that
and all
guy.
The big muscles. Guess he should start, you know, sucking up pond scum off a rock or whatever.
Drinking
you do.
Onion juice.
Yeah, Cavill, get on the onion juice, buddy. How about you join the rest of the men?
We'll pay you to not have the onion juice.
Join the rest of the bros in the man cave. Once you're done with the onion juice and active
seeing
algae.
Seeing Henry Cavill as low T is like the equivalent of like those dudes who like said that Kate Upton was fat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like the guy's like,
two out of ten like, would not bang.
I wouldn't. It's like, you would drop dead if she walked into a room you were in. Yeah.
Shockingly, I think probably the demographic of people who would say Kate Upton is fat and the demographic of people who would call Henry Cavill OT are the exact same
I
guy.
I would say it's the Venn diagram is one circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's
correct.
That is completely...
That is also a guy who says he would have made that play in any variety of sports while he drinks his eighth beer of the game.
Yeah.
So,
it's just... and the dudes that, like, believe that the only true exercise is, like, doing pull-ups with like a 14 chains draped from your chest
whatever. If you lift a weight shaped like a weight, it doesn't count. It has to be a tire.
I have a steel like statue hanging off my midriff and then I do 14 pull-ups.
Not a statue, that's art, that's gay shit. That's true.
Yeah,
it has to be a hunk of unhewn metal.
I forge
also the guy's wearing jeans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just working out in Tim's.
Key detail.
I did see a picture of somebody. It was one of those just like pictures going around Twitter of somebody at a gym on a bench press wearing jeans, Timberlands, and there was a Four Loko next to him. And I was like,
that man is
a very high T.
It's like, all right, let's go. Are you like, what is the context there? Like, maybe he was like taking the Four Loko throws me off on the maybe he's at work thing, you know, like maybe taking a break from work, but definitely not with the, well, maybe, who knows?
It gives him energy.
This guy should be on the list. We got to find more about this.
That
guy
actually would have made more sense when it used to have caffeine than it does now, because now it's just like having a Modelo. And maybe it's like chocolate milk, where it's like actually good to drink after a workout.
I feel like if our theme here is small everyday heroes, I feel like the hero here is whoever gets to now brag in a bar that they were the person that CGI'd out Henry Cavill's mustache. Like that
brag
was
or apologize.
Yeah, are you gonna brag about how bad a job you everyone?
I just feel like
you guys know that meme about the bad CGI. Well, guess who did
that? Was me.
I just want a new segment now called High Tea Low Tea, where I decide who's
high
tea man of the week.
That's a great idea. I like it.
This week's low tea man of the week, Henry Cavill, and a high tea man of the week, Four Loko bench press.
Hey, what the hell, man? What is it? Takes you more than an hour to grow a full mustache? What's the deal?
Yeah, get on it. So that's what happened with Henry Cavill. Another one, similar handsome white man, Armie Hammer.
Which the name is so insane,
so
right?
It's
his real name,
fucking
but
stupid.
His like grand, and this is I didn't like check this right before he got in, but his grandfather is very rich, obviously, because
he's a
successful white man in Hollywood. Not always, but like that. Usually, you trace it back two generations.
Sure,
and somebody
it's like,
owns like everything.
Most
prominent
people,
family.
You need to be to be able to be a struggling actor. It helps if you have rich people above you.
Yeah. And so his grandfather, his name was Armand Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Armand or whatever.
Which
Armand
is also Armie Hammer's name.
Baking soda ass name.
Yeah. No, he tried, but he was so rich that he attempted to buy Armand Hammer as like a bit.
That's a pretty good bit.
I think this
I like
is
him
true.
Now.
I feel like maybe I didn't, you know, source this correctly.
That doesn't sound real, but yeah, we'll just go with it.
We'll find out.
That's
that's
now canon.
Send me a correction if you want.
No, don't.
I'm truly not going to do
it's
anything.
Podcast canon.
To me personally, and no. I will not even fade.
Don't send
I'll
us a correct it. Don't send us a correction. Just put it on his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, just put it on there.
Correct.
And
add
that Henry Cavill is notoriously low T.
Yeah, it's like, I'm actually his physician. I'm willing to break privacy laws and let you know that, in fact, he is low T.
But I really like Henry Cavill a lot because he's a guy that, I don't remember what talk show he was on. He's one of those guys that was actually like a huge nerd in high school.
Right.
And like played like,
oh, they
loves,
all
like,
say that.
No, but he like, I don't remember what, but he does like, he just like play or he may currently play like Dungeons and Dragons and then just like got ripped and now is, but
I feel like that's the male version of the supermodel.
Right. Oh, I was tall in high school.
The
two-parter, boys didn't like me.
The two-parter is no one ever asked me out.
Yeah.
And two, I was a tomboy.
Yeah.
And there's that Paul F. Tompkins bit where he's talking about tomboys where it's like, they're always in backwards baseball caps and constantly catching frogs.
Yeah, just an overall pocket full of tadpoles. Yep,
my friend Avery has a good joke about that where she says she dresses like a the kid in an 80s movie where they take off the baseball cap and all of a sudden you realize it's a girl.
Like Icebox from Little Giants.
Yeah.
For a second I was like, are you about to do a joke about what your friend looks like? None of us know them.
Like if you know Avery, you'd love it.
Yeah, you'd love it.
No
so
last
good.
Name necessary.
Had to be there. The best way to end the two best ways to end a story are you had to be there and it was really funny.
It's already like not it's already not interesting to tell someone they look like a celebrity. It's 9 levels less interesting to be like, my friend who isn't here looks like a celebrity. Guys, no, like my friend Avery, like she looks like that. Do you know? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it looks like a general idea. My friend Avery, she's a tomboy. She looks kind of like a tomboy.
She's a comic and she had a good joke about it. It's a good joke.
Do you remember the girl from that show, Even Stevens, the Disney Channel show?
She kind of looks like that. Anyway.
But she wasn't a tomboy. She was the uptight one.
Yeah.
She was focused on her studies.
Crazy brother Shia LaBeouf.
Beans. That was, yeah.
That's Hillary. Isn't that Hillary Duff's thing?
No, Beans. Beans was in Even Stevens.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Beans was like a little kid who looked like his name would be Beans.
Yeah.
And then he like never worked again.
Did he get really jacked?
No, he just aged very poorly.
He's like the only kid like that who didn't end up getting really jacked.
Yeah.
He just looks like Beans.
You expect the model to turn into Aaron Carter.
He looks exactly like Beans, but with like less hair, and he has a goatee now. And I do feel bad about this, but he wasn't in anything for a long time, and then he got a gig in like a T-Mobile commercial where he was an elf. Because I guess he's also still very short. And there's a T-Mobile commercial where he's an elf, and the internet immediately, everybody's like, that's fucking Beans. And like, brought it back up altogether.
It's like, I'm just a man. I'm like you.
Yeah. Why can't I escape Beans?
That's like the only thing I remember about that movie Gone Girl is that...
Beans is
in No. The Beans of Boy Meets World is in it. Like the equivalent of Beans, who was Minkus in Boy Meets World,
Minkus.
Is a cop in Gone Girl, and I'm like in the theater, like, is that Minkus? Yeah.
You know who
Minkus was also in Little Giants. To circle back to that reference,
you know who pops up in a lot of like bad procedural shows and stuff? The Shermanator from American Pie.
Yeah, he's in a ton of stuff. Good for him.
Yeah. I just want there to be Gone Girl.
That guy's a working actor.
Yeah, you guys remember that scene in Gone Girl where Ben Affleck realizes that his wife is gone, or the girl is gone, and then he calls Beans from Even Stevens.
Okay, Beans. He's
like, hey, Beans.
Beans, the girl. It's the girl. What? She's gone,
Beans,
man.
Beans, my girl's gone. Have you seen her? And he's like, no. And they hangs up. It's a good scene.
It's a good celeb. It's the opposite of a celebrity cameo.
Also, there's one moment in Gone Girl. All right, I don't know about it. When I saw Gone Girl, I don't know if it's intended to be like a dark comedy, but we were like losing it in the theater. And the part where Casey Wilson just like runs on screen and screams, "You killed your pregnant wife!" Like started crying. Anyways, Armie Hammer in the news.
We got way off track. With
yeah,
that one.
So he was in that movie Call Me by Your Name that just came out, and apparently because he wears short shorts through a lot of it, his balls kept falling out of his shorts. So they had to CGI out his balls.
So he's got high T. He's the high T.
Yeah, he
that's incredibly high T. Yeah. And also, is the CGI as bad? That's what I want to know.
They put a mustache over it. Just a mustache.
They
creeping
took
out.
The mustache from Henry Cavill and put it over the ball
it's the
area.
Same, it's the same guy doing the CGI, and it's like I can only do mustaches. That's the only. The only type of After Effects I can do.
That's why his lip looks so fucked up, because it's ball skin.
They just cut Armie Hammer's ball and pasted it on his face.
They just did clone stamp of the balls.
They clone stamp ball skin like a fucked up Bosley hair restoration situation. Just onto his upper lip. Anyways, also somebody I think mentioned on Twitter was like, wear underwear, dude. Why are your balls falling out all the time? Or like tape your balls up if they're that fucking... that much of outlaws.
Like, yeah, can I get some ball tape in here?
Outlaws.
It's like, ball tape?
Yeah, tape them in.
It's a like, thing.
Do it with the way that, with dresses and nipples. Like, just tape your shorts around your balls so that they don't come out. I think I solved the problem.
This is all really news to me. You're acting like this is like a very obvious solution to a common nuisance.
No, I think it's just a logical solution. If your balls keep coming out,
I mean, if you've got
seal up the exit.
If you've got long balls, I mean, they probably touch the water when he takes it.
If you got like an Evan Stone situation going on,
I mean, I don't know who that. I don't know what that reference is to.
I know who that is, but I've never. I don't think I've seen enough of his his work to notice his ball.
He's got some low hangers.
The balls are long. The balls are long.
Just enjoyed watching Patty.
He looks like a cartoon caveman also. Oh,
that guy who gets mad when we laugh
that's
at each
extremely,
other and this is going to hate this episode.
That's an extremely high T thing to look like a caveman and have long balls.
Yeah.
He really does. He looks like Fabio's like weird brother with like really long balls.
Yeah, he's like Fabio's Patrick Swayze and Evan Stone is Don Swayze, Patrick Swayze's
still,
brother.
Is he still around? Is he still working?
No, he died, I think.
He's dead?
Evan Stone died.
Really?
Is he the one that died from a rattlesnake bite?
I don't...
What a life he has led.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
he's
that was
not dead.
Him.
He is not dead.
No, there is a thing where it's like there's a different porn star. This is great. I'm so excited that my parents listen. And there was like in the comments or something, because sometimes it's fun to read those. And
yeah, no, they're
like,
good.
Yeah, somebody's like, why hasn't this dude been in
Eli
anything?
Reads all the trades.
Yeah. You know, I get my variety and I leaf through it. No, and somebody was like, I haven't seen this guy in a long time. What happened? Somebody was like, he got bit by a rattlesnake and he died. And I looked it up and it's true. He was like living the life. He was paid to just, and then well, he got
yeah.
fucking bit by
it's,
a rattlesnake.
It's weird. Hey. It's always weird to think about like those like adult film actors to like they just have like a normal, because they're only shooting for like a few hours a day, a few days a month. I mean, the guys
most
do more,
of them only work for like two or three
like,
years.
But like, yeah. They have like the rest of their life. Like they live a normal life. They go to the grocery store. It's just weird to think about because you only interact with them when they're like, you know,
yeah.
Like
I
banging.
See them every day on my computer screen.
But this idea that he's like out,
they're
I
like
guess
my friends.
He's out like hiking and he gets bitten by a rattle. That's a very yeah. not mundane way to die. That's
What's
a very
that?
Interesting way to
Ryan,
die.
Ryan Shutt has that great joke about that where he's like, I have a porn star I've liked for so long that I'm now weirdly supportive of a real estate agent in Utah. But anyways, that's the news in Handsome Men. That's the high tea news this week.
Yeah, also glad we could confirm Evan Stone's still alive. That's big.
Yeah, he's...
Is he? Someone looked it up?
Yeah,
Kath said it.
He's 53. I do not believe he is still performing, but he is living and has not been bit by
he's
a rattlesnake.
Probably, he's, probably,
his balls?
He's probably still in the biz somewhere.
His balls are going to... When
producing.
He's old, it's going to be like... Just a pop, real grandfather clock pendulum.
He's gonna need like a bra down there, like a ball bra.
That's what Armie Hammer needs.
A cod piece. He should have worn a cod piece.
Yeah,
that's
just
the
wear
problem.
A cup.
Okay, well that's good. Not R.I.P. Evan Stone. R.I.P. that other guy with the rattlesnake.
Number three.
Okay, so number three. Again, just another absolute hero and inspiration. To all of us, there's Australian electrician who I have to find his name because I lost the article because I was Googling Evan Stone. I've
also,
Googled Evan Stone long balls and now I can't get back to the article.
Long balls like the long bear. Do you guys remember? Do you guys see the long bear?
I saw the long bear.
Like long cat? Any of those?
No, the bear with like insanely long
it's
legs.
A stuffed
yeah.
animal.
Yeah.
That was marketed as like 6 foot tall teddy bear, and then it was a regular sized teddy bear with really long legs.
Yeah. It's a good bit.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm
good bit.
The guy's name was Tom Colella, Kath.
The guy who
a 60-year-old electrician.
I definitely thought you were going to say the rattlesnake guy.
I remember what his
Colella.
Name is, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to show how many names I know.
Yeah, Eli's name dropping too many male porn stars.
What?
Say
yeah.
it.
His name is Billy Glide. He died from a rattlesnake bite.
That's a great name.
He's a porn star. Of course it is. It's like that was his birth name. He's like, this is my destiny.
this is my calling.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Tom Colella, he got caught. He was an electrician and he was given like a work. The article keeps saying PDA, which it's 2017. Who has one of those?
You know how
what
you
is that?
You guys all just have your PDA. You know, you got your phone, but you also got your personal digital assistant that you carry around.
Fellas, you hate it when you lose your stylus.
Ugh, it's the worst.
Drop your stylus on the subway.
No, I hear PDA, and all I think about is that Aqua Teen episode. That's the only thing I can think of with Todd Barry playing the guy. Anybody? Am I alone on this? All right.
Yeah, we get some cricket sound.
Billy Glide also dead. Okay.
Yeah.
So he had this PDA and he was, because he was an electrician, he decided to use science to fuck off at his job and not go. He was putting the PDA, which had a GPS on it, in like foil, like Sun Chips bags, creating a Faraday cage, which scrambles like the signals coming and going from one of those devices so that his work couldn't track him. And so he could just like fuck off and not go to work.
What is the like? But that also
you can't even be mad because it's like, yeah. Oh, way to use your knowledge of the yeah. Okay.
But that's not like they're not like, oh, he seems like where he's supposed to be. Like there's some like idiot guy that just like handles this for that company, and he's like, he's off the grid. We lost him. Like he's fucking Jason Bourne.
It's like an alien. They're watching the radar, and then the beeping just stops. It's like, yeah. What happened?
He's lost him.
Cut the lights. yeah, I mean, also, what's his name? Like Tom Colello?
Yeah.
That is exactly what my dad thinks Tom Colicchio's name is. That's like my dad trying to remember who was on Top Chef. He's like, Tom Colello? yeah, that's great. I didn't know you could make a Faraday cage out of Sun Chips bags or whatever.
Yeah.
He got snitched. He got snitched out. That's how he went down.
That sucks.
An anonymous letter was sent to his employer claiming that Mr. Colella had been playing golf when he was supposed to be working. Snitch yeah. ass.
Who is he? The fucking Cheeto in chief?
Yeah. Whoa.
Wait, but yeah. Could you... I just want you to say the mice and cockroaches thing, but me and Patty both tweeted this at the same time by accident when the story broke that they're like, apparently it's an infestation of rats and cockroaches yeah. in the White House.
Oh, like, and you both are like,
it's called the damn Trump administration, folks.
You yeah. tweeted exactly the same wording of
almost
that.
The same wording. Pretty close.
Mine was first, so let's be clear.
Yeah,
that.
Okay. Well, you know, I didn't see yours because I don't follow you.
Yeah, there we go.
No, that is also a great story that we don't have in the numbers. It's just like, you know.
Yeah, that the White House is crawling with vermin.
Yeah, because, you know, there's just like donut crumbs everywhere. It's like called Archer.
They're called Republicans, folks.
Whoa. Got him.
Double down on the joke.
Crack him.
That one.
I like the idea of getting mad about joke theft when that's your joke.
Yeah.
It's like, Eli, I can't help but notice you tweeted the same thing as me.
I think it's I think it's
as
time.
If that doesn't happen, as if there aren't 100 yeah. people that are like, excuse me? I said that I wish that I could pay my rent by eating lots of cheese 2 years ago, and I believe you probably saw it.
I think it's time to ironically start getting really mad about stolen jokes again.
I think that's a good bit
because like that,
especially if the joke is like that damn Drumpf, am I right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the joke that you have to be mad that someone stole.
Stranger Things, are we talking about Trump's policies or that damn rug on his head? Folks,
copyright Patrick Monahan.
I gotta tell you that that world in Stranger Things looks pretty normal compared to America these yeah. days.
Stop this thing. I want to get out of the upside down here. whoa. Look
11,
out.
How about get this guy out of office 11 days ago?
I'd take 11 over 45, I'll tell you that right now.
God damn it.
That one's actually pretty fucking good.
I'm one of those guys who just only calls him 45 or refuse to say his name.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
That's my act of resistance.
Yeah. I put an asterisk over the U in his name
yes.
online. I literally treat him like Voldemort.
Trimp.
Because that's, yeah.
I'm actually saying Trimp.
Trimp.
Trimp?
I call him Drumpf. Okay, so,
more
yeah.
like shrimp, because of those small hands.
Yeah, so I got Tom Colella.
Sir.
Excuse me, sir.
I won't say his name, but I will call him sir. He's 45, but I will always address him as sir.
You respect the office, even if he doesn't.
What if, I don't remember where Larry the Cable Guy stood on the election. But what if he had just changed Get Her Done
hold on.
To just being like, lock her up, like wearing a hat that said, lock her up, like that?
He's a rich guy. He's definitely.
I really like the beginning of sentence of, I don't know where Larry the Cable Guy stood on the election. Like, why would...
Two people who didn't that say who like they voted that, for, that Larry like... the Cable Guy and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor
so...
Swift definitely loves Trump.
And but I didn't see any think pieces saying that Larry the Cable Guy's stunning silence on who he was going to vote for cost anybody.
Larry the Cable Guy is complicit.
Yeah.
I
can't wait for the day that I get to say, Larry the Cable Guy, welcome to the resistance.
Yes. He's joined by the FBI.
Yes. Yeah.
More like the Red Collar Comedy Tour. These guys are Republican.
Red Collar.
Yeah.
Yep. That's real, good.
A red collar worker. Those are workers that were just attacked by vampires.
That's...
This is making a, or not
like
a lot of sense.
Dracula impersonators. I feel like that's who wears a red collar to work.
Yeah, yeah, not the real Dracula. Dracula impersonators.
Yeah. They go to birthday parties and bum everyone
like
out.
The idea of, yeah, you're not dressed up like a vampire. You're a Dracula impersonator because that presumes there is a real Dracula.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's like Elvis impersonator. I'm a Dracula impersonator. It's like, no, you're just dressed up like a vampire. You're not. There's no Dracula. Like, no, there is.
Do you want to hear one of the worst jokes, borderline non-jokes I've ever? It was like a good bit, terrible joke on purpose that me and my roommate Dan came up with one night while we were drunk, and then we told it to everyone at the party until everyone hated us, which is, this is the joke.
Yeah, we've all seen it.
Yeah,
oh, wow, okay. It goes like this. But, what did the vampire say to the bouncer?
What did he say?
I want to go into your club.
Oh, my God.
Because it sort of sounds like I want to suck your
blood.
Oh,
is that why?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't get it before.
It's not very close. It's a long way to go for very little.
Thank you for explaining.
Yeah, yeah, those extra syllables really do a lot of damage.
Well, you have to, no one can see me doing my arm like a cape on the podcast, but I'm doing my arm like a cape.
You really got to lean into it with a couple more of those like blah, blah, blah.
Because if you really do lean into it, it's like genuinely funny in like how hard you have to commit to such a terrible joke. Anyways, that's how comedy... Sorry for the free comedy lesson. Yeah.
I call him the Cheeto in chief. Okay. Yeah.
Number two.
Okay. So this one is, this is not somebody being dumb on purpose. This is somebody being thinking they're smart and being dumb and petty. But, you know, we got to give some respect out. This is Project Veritas is back in the news. The, you know, that James O'Keefe guy who dressed up in a, like a Spencer's Gifts pimp outfit. And deceptively edited video involving Acorn and got somebody fired and has since been hailed as like a muckraking journalist because... Yeah.
Where do you think his tea is? What do you think his tea level is?
You know, I gotta have to see a picture. I'd have to see a picture
when he was in the pimp outfit, the tea was pretty hot.
Yeah. And then the
crocodile
acorn
shoes
thing,
increase your tea at least a few points.
That was the other thing though about that, but the Acorn thing is that, so he was like, he went and talked to the Acorn people saying that he wanted to, it was about like sex trafficking or something like that, right?
Yeah, he basically just like went to an office with some like government worker who like is getting paid like very little money and doesn't give a shit and was just like, I'm going to do sex crimes with the money that you give me. And they were like, okay, man, whatever. And that was like.
What happened was that the person responded to him because their cousin was a in the FBI or something with like and handled this sort of stuff. So they just were doing that to try to,
as like a sting.
Yeah, because he was like, I am going to do sex trafficking, and they're like, okay, cool, all right, well, let me know where you're going to do it, and then they reported it to their cousin, and then they still got them fired somehow. Patty just showed me a picture. He looks like that. That famous like viral kid from Australia that threw a house party. Remember that?
I remember that kid.
Yeah.
He looks like the developer guy in Grandma's Boy.
The guy who acts like a robot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much do clothes cost in the Matrix, that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like he has the kind of body where it looks like no matter what size clothes he's wearing, they look like they're the wrong size. Like he just has that, his head to shoulder ratio is upsetting to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's just dressed like, if you like had
it's like he's
you have to go to a costume party on short notice and
yeah
you're like,
he's attempting pimp but he's getting grandma, like it's
yeah.
It's not correct,
right?
It's like what it's like he kind of looks Milo-ish in that way. Milo likes to dress like that.
Yeah, this is just the one outfit for his genius sting that he pulled off. So
in that case, I mean, if that guy walked in, I'd be like, this guy's not trying to do a prank
right,
on me.
Right, like I'm shocked that it's not purple and he doesn't have a hat. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's like the so he
it's like, oh.
he was like sort of the first wave of this like incredibly bad faith sort of one sided reporting. You know, and he's been like someone and he gets money from Surprise, like Bob Mercer and people like that, like no shit. And it's amazing to me that everyone is always vilifying George Soros for being this like squid that has his tentacles and everything on the left. You know, like everybody who's like conservative thinks he's like the...
Yeah, stop squid shaming George Soros. Just because he's a giant squid doesn't mean that he's corrupt.
When someone like Bob Mercer, who is doing all this weird shadowy shit and has been for a long time, is actually much closer to what they think that George Soros is.
Do conservatives ever call someone who's in the pocket of George Soros like a Sorostitute?
Probably somebody like probably has. That's much more. They all just say Soros bot or something. I think they're much. Yeah. They're not very clever.
Get out of your Soros, you Soros robot.
Politics is downstream from culture, and their culture is bad. So. Yeah, so he anyway, they're back in the news because he apparently claims that he's been doing these things where like he gets people to film guys who are either trying to get laid and trying to impress girls or like, you know, people at a bar and like journalists that work at like WAPO and the Times and stuff, and he gets them to like say things you can edit into a quick soundbite that sound like they're bad. And, you know, so they'll get them to like admit they have an opinion section that's not the news, and it's like, do you believe this? And it's like, do you not? I mean, it's, and it's just so incredibly bad faith because it's like just refusing to accept the premise that the journalism is objective. It could ever be even attempt to be objective, that they do any research, they do any kind of vetting of anything. So anyway, so
like when you're at a party and you meet a journalist and you say, hey, what do you think of the president? And they go, I can't answer that. I'm a journalist.
Right.
I must exist in an unbiased space.
Right. I'm not allowed to have an opinion about anything. And also that because I have an opinion, it also makes me, I immediately give up all ethics and just do whatever I can to damage him without any, you know, it's not like this is my calling in life or anything like that.
Anyway, oops, I dropped all my Soros money on the ground.
So
my pockets ripped.
So that's been the theme where they have advertise these huge gets, and it ends up being something that, like, the people who in bad faith will then raise it up as like, this is finally proof that the media, and it's complete horseshit, but it gets him paid, and you know, you got to respect the grift a little bit. So he's got like people that he worked for him that he sends out as moles to places, and one of them got caught this week. She was this lady who she went to the Post and was coming forward as a Roy Moore sex abuse victim. She claims that when she was 15, they had a sexual relationship and he forced her to get an abortion, which is like, it's you would say it's too good to be true. It's in the abstract because it's like so perfectly hypocritical. But there are guys like this all the time. So it actually is not that hard to believe in the abstract. But they did some follow up, which is what you do when things like this happen. They do some follow up reporting. They asked about where, because she had details about where she was employed and what she was doing when. So they called the company she said she was working for. They said, we never heard of this person. And so, like, huh, that's interesting. And then they looked her up online and found, like, her LinkedIn page and stuff. And she posted that she was going to be moving to New York to take down the sicko leftist media or whatever.
A so her LinkedIn page is just like, and then they, a prank no, she, journalist.
And then she had a GoFundMe to move to New York for this. And it was a failed GoFundMe, which is just truly insult to injury.
It and it's like, just at least take a fake name, you moron. And so she also... they found her, like, they saw her, caught her outside going into the Project Veritas offices, which are in, like, Mamaroneck, New York.
They were right. I was just there because that's where my brother picked me up to go to my family's house for Thanksgiving. And it's, like, right in downtown Mamaroneck, New York, where there are, like, three businesses, a shitty chili parlor and then Project Veritas.
Chili parlor.
Yeah, there's a chili parlor.
Chili parlors.
I bet we could go see James O'Keefe there tomorrow.
Yeah, we're gonna get an exclusive interview.
So what ended up happening is his big get, that was gonna be this massive undercover sting, ended up with him furiously no commenting over and over again outside his own offices. I'm not gonna talk about that. And you know, he claims it was a big win because they're scared because they're doing their jobs.
Yeah, if without this kind of pressure, journalists would just immediately rub their hands together and like come in their pants.
And it's very funny because everyone involved is a moron, right? And the whole thing was a bumbling, failed attempt to do this thing to get one over on people. And it really just, and the problem is nobody views anything in good faith, obviously. So what it should do is be like, oh shit. This actually makes those other accusations much more credible because they actually clearly did some homework on them and didn't just print them.
Yeah.
But those people are going to be like, well, it hasn't stopped you from lying before because people just don't, they just don't accept that bad news is real. So let's not lose sight of the fact that it's very funny, but this was an attempt to destabilize the reporting on what are believed to be allegations of a guy hitting on like high school girls, and you know, when he was a 30-year-old man, a guy who was a total sex creep, if these are to be believed.
Oh, no, it's beyond that.
It's disgusting.
The base accusation is this full sexual assault of a 14-year-old girl.
I mean, what they're doing, and this is all in the service of getting this fucking guy elected so we can vote for whatever shitty stuff is coming down the pipe.
Apparently, there is also like a fake phone call going around in his, where people were voting for him. It was like when we were talking about the fake November 4th stuff, and it was like Jewy Muhammad or whatever the guy's name was.
Oh, Bernie Bernstein.
It was like
oh God, yeah, Torah,
Muslim
Jewerson, fucking whatever.
Oh, you mean the press release? Yeah, yeah.
It was that. Yeah, and then the call was like, yeah, some incredibly Jewish, yeah, like Bernie Bernstein.
Hello, I'm here to find out.
yeah, like they were soliciting stories.
We want to make sure there's more abortions in Alabama, so we want to get him elected.
You could call me back at the office of George Soros.
So what all this is like, there's no rules anymore because these people just decide to do these things. It's very easy to set up a robocall, obviously, you know, and because people have no ability to, like, most people who are not super online, not paying attention to shit, have no ability to filter out what's real and what's not real, and like whether they should even consider that a source could possibly be telling the truth. So like that's why you'll get, you know, I always say like patriottruth1.biz, you know, put, do you believe this? Do you believe that they're actually, you know, and it's like, no, I don't, because I'm not an old person online who doesn't know what they're fucking doing. Like, Roy Moore's wife was posting a lot of this shit because she's an old lady.
Yeah.
I you know, maybe she actually believes he's not a creep or whatever. Fine, but you know, it's just anyway. Project Veritas is funny. It sucks that this guy makes money doing this. It's really embarrassing.
That's what I think is so interesting about this, is because like the idea that it is not just like one guy, but like multiple people's full-time job to try to pull off these fucking ridiculous like attempts to entrap journalists and people who are just trying to do their jobs. And it's like, first of all, of course it doesn't work because you're talking to people who it wasn't even like they were going at, like, they went after the New York Post, which, like, not the most, you know, reputable journalistic outlet out there.
Yeah.
And even they do enough work where they're like, yeah, this woman is obviously trying to get one over on us. I mean, we're going to ignore her. Like,
was this New York Post or was it Washington Post?
This was the Washington Post, but she was going around to all kinds of journalism.
It was broken by the New York Post.
Oh, right, okay.
The story got broke by the New York Post, but she was trying to get the Washington Post.
So the funny detail about this, I'm pretty sure this is true. I couldn't find it because I guess the account's been deleted, but at one point she was posting, like, she had an online, you know, MAGA account because she's a, you know, one of those weird culty people, and her fucking username was Kafifi2Scoops, which is just like so on the nose. Like, if you were making like a bot fake one, it would be that. And but that's a real woman who lives and breathes. And
her avatar like a picture of an eagle?
I don't know. All I know is the name. I don't know much more about it.
It's upside down American flag.
Because she basically, she like flipped the switch and started posting like pro-Hillary stuff to like try to, you know, establish her cover.
Oh,
you know?
I see. Okay, like, she has like a snowflake and a donut in her
right.
name.
She views like this shit as like doing that, like posting is the same as like when Jack Bauer had to fucking do heroin to fit in with the cartel in 24. You know what I mean? It's not, these are not the same level of, you know, like, sophistication.
400% you showed up in a trench coat and big sunglasses. Like just this is the fantasy. But the whole thing is like, I mean, this, when you're saying that, that's what it is. It's like, because people can't figure out if you can get a half decent, and not even really half decent, there's like people that don't understand that just because it's on the internet, like, it's the oldest thing to say on the internet, but like, it just, it's the same way, like, but instead of fake publications, when it was paper publications back then, they'd be like, I wonder if we can get anyone to believe that there's a boy who's also a bat. And then that's what it was. And now instead of that, they're like, what if we could destabilize the information, like political information of the entire country? It's just like, I don't know what you do, and I don't really know what you do about it. The other thing is that even the thing that they were trying to sting them with, which is the woman, she says, you know, he had sex with me, he forced me to get an abortion. And the thing that she was trying to needle the Post reporter into doing was, she was like, I want your assurance this will hurt him in the election.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Post reporter, like, to their credit,
they
were
didn't
like,
take the bait.
That's not like, no, why we do this.
But also, someone who was like, somebody forced them to get an abortion, that's not that's not crazy that they would want that to hurt the like, it doesn't mean that they're out for blood and out for revenge. It's like, hey, this person is like very a bad person, and I'd like to know that this might contribute to him not holding public office.
Yeah, not being in a position of power.
Yeah. Like, if the original person, the person who was like legitimately, if the accounts are true, legitimately sexually assaulted, like he forced her to touch his, like, you know, all that. I'm not gonna go. Remember, this was gonna be a really light one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
But if she was to say something like, just assure me that, you know, this news will get out there and that this might be able to stop that man from taking power, that's not crazy to me. It's not a wild thing to say.
Well, that's not a crazy thing to say, but it is not something that would be appropriate for a journalist to assure someone, and that's what they were going for.
The reality is, like, this is all being targeted towards people who have Fox News beamed into their face all day, and it's the media's bad, and it's like, right. You are the fucking media. You are also the media, but...
Like most of the media.
So they're basically, like, they're predisposed, and they've never met anyone who works at a newspaper. They don't know any journalists or whatever, right? So they're just like, oh, well, they're all bad. They're all lying. They all want this. They all want that.
Yeah.
It's like we said, it's bad. Let's keep it light. Yeah. Let's keep it moving.
People whose deepest belief is that you have to, you know, spend the time to come to your own conclusions and then do less research than anybody on the planet on everything they believe. So... Yeah, extremely low T, James O'Keefe.
There are numerous cities in Minneapolis that are now under Sharia law because they're immigrants. I don't know if you guys heard that.
That's what they changed it into, the state of 1,000 Sharia laws.
That's some real news, folks.
Sharia lakes.
Hey, how about that? Let's do a quick palate cleanser here.
Moon pie. What a time to be alive.
Okay.
Beautiful.
And I want to say, we were talking about this, but we didn't know how to respond. We got a really nice email from Justine. I don't want to give her full name. I don't know. But she sent us a really nice long email at the Gmail address. Just talking about how much she likes the show. And we just wanted to give her a shout out and say thanks for that.
Thanks, Justine.
We all read it while we were doing karaoke together.
Yeah,
we enjoyed it very much.
So thank you for that. I have difficulty processing earnestness and not irony because my brain has been destroyed 3 years of being online. But it was very nice to read. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
From all of us.
Yeah, and from everybody sends nice stuff. And the guy who offered to send us moon pies. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how those travel. That seems like hard to mail. But
moon pie is clearly going for like an edgy rebrand based on their Twitter.
Yeah.
I feel like we can get the sponsorship.
Think we can slide in there?
I think we can.
Should we slide in the moon DMs? The pie DMs?
I think they can at least send us a little box
of
them.
Give us some stuff.
Yeah,
can
do
we
it.
We have some stuff.
This is how it works, right? To be powerful. You just ask for things and they give it to you?
I think so.
I'm very professional, so yes.
As we say, Eli's scrolling through his emails while we're recording.
I'm getting the news story ready for the next thing.
Good God. Can you please stall while I pull this up?
Is there no veil that can't be drawn back? And now I'm distracted and it's taking longer.
Yeah, it's really under pressure. He's not getting it done here.
I'm just taking this opportunity to read Twitter while he looks for the email.
You're also introducing this one.
Fuck. Okay. You're right.
Well,
I know it by heart, so.
Now, here we go, folks.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Do you want
to
go?
Yeah, but we don't have to think to say it. It's everyone who's listened to this knows that me and Kath are massive fans of Forged in Fire, the swordsmithing and bladesmithing reality show on History Channel.
We need a name for Forged in Fire fans.
Oh, did they not have...
Fifth?
I feel like it can't be Forgies.
No.
That sounds bad.
Blade. We respect the way of the blade. We need like a...
Blade respecters.
The blade respecters.
Eli and I are noted blade respecters.
Yeah, and to be honest, this story connects with me because I feel it could have been either of us.
It could have definitely been either of us. Eli, I know this about you, that when you started watching the show, you looked up... places to take forging lessons.
I did redo that. There's a place in Red Hook and I still want to go, but it's expensive.
Did people
start a GoFundMe to send you and me
to learn blade how school? To
forge? Yeah.
Did a million people send this article to you?
Not as many to me as to you, but I think you tweet about Forge and Fire more.
I do. I do.
I watched all of it for like early on, but I didn't tweet about it as much, I think. But yeah, I was like,
you wanted
really
to keep
mad.
The secret to yourself.
Yeah,
I'm trying to evangelize.
Yeah, I'm in support now.
Kat's like one of the Pharisees. Eli's like Jesus here. That's what's going on.
It's true. I talk a big game.
Right, the Pharisees.
Yeah,
what
you know,
the fuck Bible camp is that? What? I don't know what that shit is.
Like the whole like you're not supposed to like make a lot of noise about how much you pray.
Yeah.
So you're like a true head.
So there were just dudes going around being like, I pray. all the time.
Yeah, dude, it's parable, man. I don't know.
Dude, like 6 times a day. Like all the time.
All the time. I can't stop praying. I miss work because of praying. Okay.
Don't ask anybody about it, but trust me.
I'm learning about the Bible because I'm a despicable Jew on the podcast. That sounded, wow.
That sounded, when we make the soundboard for when you go away, that's going to be on there.
Despicable Jew, yeah.
Yeah, so this story is about, many of you have seen it because you send it to us, and thank you. A man in a small town in Cohoes, New York is the name of the town, lit basically his whole town on fire. Trying. No one was hurt, so it's okay.
He is the cow and the lantern of Cohoes.
Yeah.
Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Yeah.
John Gomez, 51. It's exactly the demographic of person who is watching Fortune Fire.
That's like if, you know how brands sometimes do like a persona for advertising?
Mm-hmm.
Like the marketing thing? That is the persona they made. They're like, Forged in Fire fans, for example, it's John Gomez, 51, likes he likes beer, but nothing too fancy. Like, that's the sort of shitty persona things that they do.
So he said he was inspired by Forged in Fire, a show in which bladesmiths compete to create swords and other edged weapons.
As we all know.
As we all know.
And he's literally just on his phone while we talk about Forged in Fire.
Could not be less interested.
Doing other things.
We have tried to get. He has not watched the show yet.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I can't see you over Eli, so I'm just
letting you guys. I'm just letting you guys go. I'm letting you guys burn out the enthusiasm here.
It will never burn out. This is the eternal flame.
Yeah, much like the Forge.
Is it on streaming?
The Forge in my heart.
It's on historychannel.com.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, it might be on Hulu too.
Okay. It's on Hulu now.
I will check it out.
But yeah, so
get the first season with Jay Nielsen.
Yeah, he's the best.
Do you like the? I think the new guy's good too, but I feel like they got rid of Jay Nielsen because he didn't look cool enough, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought he was very knowledgeable, but yeah, he doesn't have all the other judges on Forge and Fire have very strong looks. They have very definitive.
They serve strong looks on Forge and Fire.
There's that one guy who has I feel like he always has a pocket watch.
Yeah, he has a pocket watch and a vest and a mustache, and he's a historical weapons recreation expert.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Doug Markaita, edge weapons expert.
Yes, he's the martial arts dude who tests all the swords by going to town on a pig carcass or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I think the last guy's name is Jason Knight or something.
Are you interested?
Sounds like my ex-wife. Okay, anyway.
That's what you broke in to say.
You fucked your dead ex-wife.
Damn.
Anyways.
But the can'll be winners.
So you get for edging in, no pun intended, on our Forge and Fire cast. We have a smaller Forge and Fire cast that's within this podcast. Like a parasite.
Every week it just takes over a little more.
Yeah.
It's a tapeworm.
This is a current event thing because you could continue with the
yeah. I'm so glad we get this opportunity on the inaugural episode of the Forge Cast. We finally have news about it. So this guy burned down his whole town because he was trying to forge. He just was I'm going to make a weapon in my fireplace, I guess.
Yeah.
And if you've watched the show, I feel like I understand why this guy thought that this might be a good idea. Because on some of the episodes, they go back to the people's houses. They go back to their home forges to make some of the weapons. And there's the best guy who was ever on Forge and Fire was in the first season. And he was a survivalist and he forged in an old satellite dish. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Was it the Filipino guy?
It was the Filipino guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the fire department came because they were what's happening here? And he was oh, I'm making a sword for television. And they were cool, bye.
He had a massive necklace on and was smoking a cigar and forging a ceremonial blade. It was the best shit. Yeah.
Yeah, just in a wife beater with this huge neck tattoo out.
So this that dude guy just ruled. So Gomez, I guess, was just yo, I'm just gonna get some metal real hot and I think I can wing this. It had to be during the quench, right? That's when it must have probably
exploded.
Attempted to quench an oil. I think it was he tried to do the
oh my god. I'm just imagining him trying to quench an oil and it's just a cast iron pot of oil on his stove. Yeah, yeah.
Just tried to deep fry a sword and his fucking house exploded.
I just want to know, like, because he's clearly a blade head like we are. Like, what were you making, dude? Were you making a buoy? Were you making a sax? Like, what were you?
Yeah, dude.
What's your? Were you making a recurve?
A tanto?
You guys know a lot about this.
Were you doing Damascus steel?
Three seasons of it.
You got a Hamon line on that bad boy, dude?
Oh,
I know everything
dude.
About swords
yeah.
now.
Throw a fuller in there. Come on.
You guys should
take some mass out of the blade while also strengthening it.
What you guys can't see is that Kath and Eli have both put on fedoras for this part of the show.
I have swords out right now.
And they're both wearing black dress shirts with white ties. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of a weird aesthetic.
The next week when he shows up at the podcast, me and Kath are just going to both bow to you. And yeah. then walk into the podcast room and there's going to be swords hanging up
They're
everywhere.
Both like really into Japanese culture in like a way that's kind of creepy and unsettling.
That is yeah. that is a classic Forged in Fire contestant like stock
Gabriel.
Archetype. Is like Gabriel. Yeah, Gabriel came in like a Tai Chi uniform.
He's like this like clearly just like Jewish guy.
Oh yeah, he was like super
in, like,
Jewish.
A ceremonial like samurai like whatever those are, like happy like whatever those like
the robe. Yeah.
yeah. Forged only Japanese blades. And at one point legitimately goes, I forge blades to respect the teachings or to respect the honor of my father and his teachers. And his name is Gabriel. He's just like a Jewish dude.
Do you have a ponytail? We got a ponytail going on?
Yeah,
you
got a ponytail, yeah.
But it blows up because it's like an Afro ponytail. It's like
what's the ponytail saturation level on this show? Is it like,
oh, pretty high.
Is it like
Very
one
high.
And two?
Well, it's there's a couple. There's like a yeah. ponytail. There's like a Macklemore cut. And then there's like regular haircut, but with bandana.
Yeah, there's like a couple. There's like a couple different like types of contested. There's like the like, oh, I got into this as a modern hobby thing. There's a lot of people who are just farriers, who are people who make
horseshoes,
and then they just like also make knives. Those are the best. It's just like an 80-year-old dude who's just like yoked out with just like crazy fat veins, who's just like, yeah, man, I do this just for fun. And then
there's
this
like
is now
video
fully
game people.
Forge
yeah,
and fire,
we're
like,
in the Forge cast. We're deep in the Forge cast. The only other thing that's like the stock character that stresses me out the most is like there's definitely been some white power dudes on it. Like,
oh yeah,
you know that
there's
some
like some
of those
Viking
guys.
Leaning. It's like when you hear about a new like sometimes you hear about a new metal band and you just like look at some of the album art and you're just like and you have to Google it and be like, are they white power? And then hopefully not. I've had that like a couple times.
These guys really like white wolves.
Yeah, I like. Like, me and my friend Eric at work will, like, send each other metal a lot, and there's definitely, like, a couple bands where I have to be like, did you Google these guys? Because I'm listening. This is kind of seems... And he's like, oh, shit. Oh, no. Let me look it up.
Get this out of my Spotify history, man.
Oh, no. They're just called Screwdriver. I didn't know. It's
oh,
not
shit.
Screwdriver.
With a K.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so this guy, you know, I applaud the self-starting nature of trying to forge a sword in just a house that's not built for it.
Inside. But,
yeah.
Just inside.
Yeah, indoor. Well, a couple of them, but it's like at least a garage or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. You have to have a lot of very good ventilation. I do wonder how this will affect future Forged in Fire episodes. Are they going
to
have
to put
a
disclaimer?
Yeah.
Do not forge at home.
They don't already have that on there?
I guess
there.
They don't.
They
Maybe.
Don't.
Oh, can they get sued?
No.
Don't,
those kind of disclaimers are always, like, that's such, like, belt and suspenders type shit. Like, the idea that you would be like, well, I didn't know I shouldn't do it. There was no thing on there. It's like, you're an adult person. Like, you're not, you don't get to.
And they did it for Jackass, which had more people do that than any other show ever. There were, like, scores
there were people doing
16-year-olds that are like, I just ate poison.
I love that classic Jackass prank when you
eat
poison.
It's not that far from, like, what.
I'm Johnny Knoxville. I'm about to eat poison.
They should should show a do not try this at home warning before the freaking president speaks.
Don't become president.
Don't try to be the president.
Dude, you know what sucks when someone tries to pretend like Jackass isn't funny? You know,
yeah, Jackass is really funny.
It's objectively very funny.
Yeah, like when someone's like, I guess I just don't get it.
I guess not.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't even have to get it. It's a guy
people getting
like
hurt
a gorilla
is funny.
Getting knocked off a porta potty with a fucking RC plane.
Yeah.
It's not That's like eight good jokes.
People getting hit in the, like, America's Funniest Home Videos is still maybe the funniest show that has aired.
That's like the entire reason YouTube exists is because shit like that
fail
is funny.
Fail compilations are funny. There is no world in which they are not funny.
Yeah. God, there's a show in Austin, a comedy show where they play, like, when the audience is sitting down and everything, they play fail compilations. And they're honestly, like, kind of tough to follow. Like, because they're so funny.
Oh, it's great. 100%. Well, that's, like, hard to do. It's just...
It's like all I have to offer is emotional pain, guys. I don't have any physical pain to share with you.
Even the shit, the, like, non-painful stuff on Jackass was funny, though. Like, I remember, like, I remember watching the pilot of it when it was, like, premiering, and it was the thing where they would have, like, a baby doll on top of a car and drive away. That's so funny.
In the, in the movie, he has the amazing, like, Johnny Knoxville has the amazing line where he's using the air horn of the guys on the golf course, you know? And he's like, what are you doing, man? He's like, I got bursitis. And he's like, what? You do that because you got bursitis? He's like, yeah, it helps. It helps. Like, that is such a great ad lib. That is so funny. And then the guy starts teeing up towards them like he's going to drive the ball. And he does it again when the guy pulls his swing up. Ah, it's great. It's great.
There's like... Yeah, I mean, I think that comedy is good, and, you know, it's difficult to write good jokes, but there's, like, a video of just a little kid on a bike in, like, Amsterdam, and he bikes past, and there's a van with, like, a lady in lingerie on it, and he gets, like, distracted by the van, and he goes, ooh la la, and then bikes into a wall, and that's the best comedy special I've ever seen in my life.
It's really, yeah, it's hard to beat it. It's hard to beat someone getting hurt.
Yeah.
Like, we're pro people getting hurt. I'm trying to imagine being one of the, what, like, things like that. That's the Forge and Fire thing. This guy burning down his whole town. Like, it's something we just none of us think about living in New York. But we were, like, completely at the mercy of our neighbors who might be total idiot dumbasses and just burn down the building.
I
at all
I think about
times.
All the time, dude.
Yeah, I guess I just try not to.
Yeah, we're more at risk of that here than anywhere
it's
else.
Like, it's
somebody,
like,
you know, there's, like, what, six units in my building. Any one of those people could leave their oven on by accident,
and then you just
the
lose everything.
The building will blow up. Yeah, or an AC could fall on you. I mean, this is called generalized anxiety, bud.
Yeah, well, the air conditioner falling is a classic New York fear. That actually happened a couple years ago.
I'm very afraid of that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I do, like, I wonder, too, about this Forged and Fireman. Like, this was very recently after a landmark Blades Giving marathon. Like, do you think on Thanksgiving he got this idea? I'm just, like, trying to, like...
Are these people going to sue History Channel?
I mean, I think he probably just saw Blades Giving. I don't think he was a longtime fan. Otherwise, he would have respected the blade.
Exactly. And he would understand.
He doesn't know how to quench an oil.
Yeah. Well, you quench an oil. What are you going to quench in water?
You can't quench in water. You're going to crack your blade, dude.
Come on, dude.
It's going to cool down way too fast.
The fedoras
are
going
to hear
bad.
The tings.
It's weird. The fedoras were gone, but suddenly just appeared. I don't know. It's kind of a weird phenomenon here.
What, are you going to try to fix a warp after you've hardened?
Uh-uh. No way. You got to re-quench, dude.
Come on. I'm riled up.
So for those of you that have made it to this point, you just got a lot of key, good advice about making a blade.
I wish we had analytics
don't
to show
try
like
to...
at what point people stop listening. Yeah, I just hope that...
Before we go, I do want to leave everybody with one more word of advice, and that is do not try to burn a hardwood handle onto your tang, because it will never work.
Do not. Stop trying to burn the handles on. Stop trying to impress the judges.
Yeah, it's a classic mistake.
It's a common issue, and I just want to spread awareness.
Well, anyways, I do want to take those forging classes, so I'll let you know if I get the money together.
Venmo in the bio.
Forge safely, everybody.
So is anybody got to plug? I don't know. We got a... let's see. I'm Patty Mo on Instagram, Twitter, etc. I got a show that I run with Eli, stand-up show every Friday, 8:30 at Karma Lounge here in New York. It's like 3rd and 1st. It's a good show.
A couple people came out actually last week, so shout out to those people.
Yeah, Fridays at 8:30, so definitely come through. It's fun.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything specific. You know, Twitter, Instagram. I Twitch sometimes if you want to watch me just get mad at video games.
Who
does
it
for me?
Frankly,
I'm furious at him.
I'm Kath Barbadoro on everything. I have some shows coming up that would be really fun if people came to. One is this Thursday, the 7th. I'm doing a show with Katie Halper. She's recording her show. It's going to be fun. It's going to be me and Judah Friedlander, and Alex Press is going to be there, who's a really cool, smart journalist. And we're going to do comedy, and we're going to talk about, like, sexual harassment and comedy, but not in a shitty way, because we're funny and it'll be fun. That's free. It's at Brooklyn Commons on Thursday at 8. I'm also doing a show Monday the 11th at the Corners on Nostrand, also at 8. That'll be fun. It's just a stand-up show. I think Rebecca O'Neill's headlining it. It'll be a good time. And yeah, that's it for me. Kath Barbadoro on all the things.
Kath is the one of us who gets booked on shows. yeah, so definitely please like, subscribe, and give us reviews, send us emails. It's whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. We're on all the social media stuff, whatatimepod. And yes, that's pretty much it. RIP Billy Glide.
We miss you every day.
Shout out to Billy Glide in heaven. Fucking up in heaven. Fucking the angels.
There it is. Guys, we will, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.